authentic disciples of Jesus. So what is the main thing of GCF New Valley? Baka nagdududa pa kayo sa sagot niyo, di ba? Kasulat na eh. So it summarizes our mission and vision. The mission is to know Christ and make Him known. The vision is to transform lives and communities through our Lord Jesus Christ. To sum it up, multiplying authentic disciples of Jesus. And it's all our calling. It is not just my calling. My personal calling is to become a pastor. And that's why I'm pastoring GCF New Valley. So I'm here. But the task of multiplying authentic disciples of Jesus is not just my task. It's not just the leader's task. It's the task of the whole church. The task of GCF New Valley. So wherever you are, I want you to remember this. Where you are is why you are. Can you repeat that with me? Where you are is why you are. Meaning, God has placed you there wherever you are right now for a specific purpose. And that specific purpose is for you to multiply authentic disciples of Jesus in that place. In your workplace, in your school. That is your first and foremost purpose as to why the Lord has placed you there. And the first step in multiplying authentic disciples of Jesus, it's under the discipleship of what the Lord has given us to go and make disciples, is what we call evangelism. To share the gospel, to share the love of God in Christ Jesus. The love of God that cannot be earned. We cannot earn the love of God. Because the Bible is clear that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we cannot earn the love of God and we cannot lose the love of God. So let us share the love of God that can be seen in Christ Jesus. For about two Sundays, we discussed the cross of Christ, and just last Sunday, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins, for His glory, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. So we are all called to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to become missional, a missional church. And you don't have to go somewhere else to become a missionary. Because sometimes that is our thinking. That in order for me to become a missionary, I must go to China, I must go to a remote place. No, wherever you are. Remember, where you are is why you are. Wherever you are, you can become an ambassador for Christ. You can share the gospel because, again, God has placed you in that specific place to become an ambassador for Him. For you to carry the message of reconciliation and share to your friends and your family members the good news of salvation that can only be found in Christ and Christ alone. So sharing the gospel, this is the task of the church. So you and I must participate in this, church. It's not just my task. Later we will see in our passage, it's our task. It's our task. So, church, here's what I want us to remember this morning. Here's the lesson. Let's go. Let's go. Go means go and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, then open the word to the world. And where can we find that? In Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20. And for our scripture reading, we will just read verses 15 and 16. So shall we all rise in reverence to the reading of God's word? And let us read this together as it is being flashed in our screen. Let's read this. Verse 15. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." May God be praised for the reading of His word. Let us pray. Father, once again, we are here opening up Your word. May Your Spirit really deeply convict us, Lord God, of the truth about sharing the gospel, about multiplying authentic disciples of Jesus. Lord, I pray that it will be inculcated in our hearts so that it will become our lifestyle. Because, Lord, as we will see, Lord God, later, that as we go, as we travel, wherever we are, this is our calling to share the love of God in Christ Jesus, to share the good news of salvation that can only be found in Christ and Christ alone. In His name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now before we dig into our passage in Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20, let me just share to you a little bit about what we call, in when you are studying the manuscripts, it's called textual criticism. Why? Because the NT scholars said that there is a shorter ending of Mark, which ends in verse 8. There's also what we call the longer ending of Mark, that is in starting with verse 9 up to 20. But the word criticism, since it has negative connotation, my professor actually said, you can replace that word criticism with inquiry or inquiry. So it's a textual inquiry. Okay. Now, for you to understand textual criticism or textual inquiry, I'm sure you have encountered in your Facebook about the King James Version. The King James, because the King James only list, those who only accept King James Version as the Bible, they say that other versions or other translations such as NIV, ESV, they somehow deleted some verses. Perhaps you've encountered that in your Facebook account or you've heard about that. For an example, okay, before we apply this in the book of Mark, can you please open your Bibles to Matthew 18 so that you can follow me with this? Matthew 18, okay? Turn your Bibles, even if it is electronic, you can see this. Look at Matthew chapter 18. Now read verse 10, okay? You can see there verse 10, okay? If you are not holding a King James Version, after verse 10, what comes next? Immediately, verse 12. There's no verse 11. So that's why in the King James, it has verse 11. So the King James only is, they will say, see, they deleted the verse. Actually, it's not deleted. If you will see in verse 10, it has a footnote, a number. Go to that number and you will see verse 11, which it says, for the Son of Man came to save the lost. That is verse 11 of Matthew 18. Now, it means that the earlier manuscript don't have that line, because during that time there's no verse. Okay? It's just about later, that's why we have chapters and verses. Before, it has no verse. Okay? Now, the older manuscript, we have about more than 2,500 manuscript variants of the New Testament. Okay? In the older manuscript, in Matthew chapter 18, there is no, it doesn't appear there. Because just imagine, during that time, they have no printing press. Okay? So what they do is that they manually copy the manuscript. Okay? So at the latter time, someone will just dictate the manuscript and then there are many scribes who will just write it down. So perhaps there's a miss along the way. Ano daw yon? Di ba? Hindi na rin next. So they just put it there. Okay? Now, I don't want you to doubt the Bible, because all this shows, having this 2,500 manuscripts, it only shows how God preserved His Word. Kaya po nakarating sa atin yan. And only in Christianity, we do not afraid with that. Okay, you can do textual criticism with all the manuscript, because you can find that there is no contradiction. Because at the end of the day, that verse 18:11, you can also find that in the book of Luke, that indeed the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So there is no contradiction. But the rule is that much earlier manuscript, NT scholars will subscribe to the much earlier, the older manuscript, they will subscribe to the older manuscript than the latter manuscript. That's about the dating. Okay. Now applying it in the book of Mark, you will see, you will notice in your Bible, Mark chapter 16, before verse 9, there is this phrase, some of the earliest manuscripts do not include verses 9 to 20, right? Am I right? You see that in your Bible? Some of the earliest manuscripts do not include verses 9 to 20. How did we know that? How did the New Testament scholars knew that, especially the translators of ESV or the NIV? They can see this in what we call Greek apparatus. I will just show this to you, okay? Because definitely it will just look like Greek to you, okay? So here's a Greek apparatus on how we know things, okay? if you will see those two, that's the Aleph letter, the first alphabet of the Hebrew letter, and then the capital B. Okay, that is how they coded everything during that time, the manuscript. So the code Aleph and the code B, that is the older manuscript. And it says there, it omits verses 9 to 20. So that's why anti-scholars knew all about this thing. Okay, but the end of the day, church, the longer reading, even though some anti-scholars and many scholars believe that Mark ended in verse 8. But for them, still, verses 9 to 20 is part of the scripture. They just don't know who the author was of verses 9. But it's still part. Why? Because it does not contradict the whole theme of the Word of God. What happened there is that since, because they really do not know if this is Mark, external evidence, you can see the older manuscript, internal evidence, they say that the writing of verses 9 to 20 is somewhat different from the rest of the writings of Book of Mark, starting with chapter 1 up to chapter 16, verse 8. That's why they say somehow there's an off here. But still, we must believe it's part of the Word of God, because it does not contradict the whole of the Word of God. So I don't want you to doubt. I just want you to know this. Because one way or the other, you will see that in your Bible, what does it mean? Some earlier manuscript does not have verses 9 to 20. That is what we call textual criticism, based on the Greek apparatus. Now, what can we learn from our passage about this verses 9 to 20? It talks about the Great Commission. We know that it does not contradict. Why? Because Matthew, Luke, and John also have what we call the Great Commission. In verse Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20, it is about the Great Commission. And this happened after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, our action point is, let's go, church. Let's go. GCF New Valley, let's go. Go share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then let's open the Word to the world. Now, we can observe three things here in verses 9 to 20. First, the problem of unbelief. Second, of course, the proclamation of the gospel. And then third, the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. First, look at the problem of unbelief in verses 9 to 14. If you will observe the passage here, at least three times you will see the phrase, they did not believe. They there referring to the disciples. They did not believe. It started when he rose early on the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. And then the story. Remember the shorter ending of Mark. Jesus commanded the three ladies to go and tell my disciples that I will meet them in Galilee. And here they are. Mary Magdalene reporting to the disciples, and yet the disciples did not believe. And after that, there's still, look at verse 12, there are these two of the disciples who were mourning, who were grieving because of the death of Jesus Christ. Two of them went out, and you will see the parallel passage here in the book of Luke. The two disciples walking on the road of Emmaus. The same story here. So to cut the long story short, after Jesus revealed himself to them, after they recognized the Lord, Jesus vanished from them, and the two went back to the disciples, and they reported what they saw, that they have seen the risen Lord. But still, the disciples, they did not believe them. And then here comes Jesus Christ appearing before them. Jesus Christ rebuked them. Why? Did Jesus rebuke them? Because, hey, where are you when I was during my suffering? It's not the rebuke. It's all about the rebuke was because of their unbelief. Because they had not believed what he said. That after 3 days, I will rise again from the dead. They did not believe that. And what happened? Because of their unbelief, they have a hardened heart. The word rebuke there, it's in the original language, it's really a strong word to really reprimand. Jesus reprimanded the early disciples because of a hardened heart. Now, what can we learn from this passage? Unbelief can lead to a hardened heart or callous heart. Alam niyo ba yung kalyo? Nakakaramdam pa ba yun pag may kalyo kahit na ganyan? Di ba wala ka na maramdaman? That's the problem. Perhaps we have no issue about the resurrection. We believe that Christ rose from the dead. That is not our issue. But what about the scripture? The commandments of God? Yes, we know the commandments of God, but the question is, are you applying the commandments of God? Why are you not applying the commandments of God? If you believe that this is the word of God, this is what God wants me to do, here is the commandment of God, and yet you do not obey. Do you really believe the scripture? And what happens is if we do not apply the word of God, you know what happened? It hardens our heart. Di ba nababasa mo eh, paulit-ulit, nababasa mo yan, alam mo yan, tumitigas na yung puso mo. Let's apply it in the context of the Great Commission. Time and time again, you hear in this pulpit that we must share the gospel. You all know that. Right? Tama ba ako doon? Alam niyo naman siguro yun, di ba? Church, am I right? You all know that. Kahit ngayon, hindi ko na ito i-preach, alam niyo na yan eh. But the question is, do you apply it? The problem is, if we do not apply, okay, here we'll go again. Pastor Erwin will preach about the Great Commission. I know that. I even memorized Matthew chapter 28. The parallel version. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always. I even memorized that. Alam ko na yan. You know what's happening? If you are not applying it, only makes your heart hardened. Wala na eh. Narinig ko na yan. Kaya ba? Perhaps that is your attitude right now. I already know that. Okay na ako. Tantura naman yan eh. Kasi wala kang planong i-apply. Remember, Jesus rebuked the disciples because of their hardened heart. So I'm always checking my heart because I don't want to have a hardened heart. Especially in the context of sharing the gospel. That is why I always pray for divine appointments. And the reason why I am sometimes, you will see this in my Facebook account, I am posting this to serve as an example. Hindi po yan para ipagmalaki. Okay? My intention for that is for you to see that I myself, I am intentional in sharing the gospel. Whoever I meet, I'm just praying for divine appointments. Pag merong opportunity, that's it. Para makita nyo, kasi ang hirap naman, if I'm the one preaching here, teaching here, hindi ko ginagawa. Di ba siyempre sabihin nyo, ikaw nga, pastor, hindi mo ginagawa, ba't namin gagawin niya? So kailangan ngayon maging example muna ako. That's the reason why I'm posting such things in my Facebook account. So that you can see that I'm doing it. And I cannot, and the command is not only for me. It's for all of us. But we must be active in sharing the gospel because if not, if we will not obey, be warned, we might develop a hardened heart, a callous heart. So in order for you to apply this truth, always pray for divine appointment and definitely God will give you one. Pray for you. Just be sensitive with the Holy Spirit, Lord. I want to share your gospel, perhaps to my office mate. Katabi ko na to, tagal ko ng katabi nito. Never kung nabanggit yun. Ayan yun. Perhaps that is your divine appointment. Huwag ka nang humanap. Huwag mo nang hintay pumunta ka pa ng Mindanao, China. Katabi mo lang. Okay na yan. Share the gospel. Grab the opportunity every time the Lord will create a divine appointment with you and somebody else. Grab that opportunity. And GCF Nuvali, let's go. Let's go. Go share the gospel of Jesus Christ and then open the word to the world. Now, even though Jesus rebuked them and may perhaps this is a rebuke coming from the Lord to you, look at His forgiveness because still, Jesus entrusted to His disciples this mission. Look at what He said in verses 15 through 18. And He said to them, go. Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Jesus commanded His disciples to go in the original language, the word go. It carries the idea of departing from a place and then arriving to your destination. Meaning as they travel, what are they going to do? they will keep on sharing the gospel. They will keep on proclaiming the gospel. In their context, wala naman po sasakyan yan. Okay, so from Jerusalem, as they go, wherever they will go, their destination, they will stop. So when they stop to a certain city or sa atin, diba, a certain province, they will share the gospel. Then they will move on. As they stop there again, they will keep on sharing. So in our context, wherever we are, that is the word go there. Wherever we are, we must share the gospel. As you travel, wherever you are, go and proclaim the gospel to whom? What does the text says? Proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Of course, in its context, not creation there, we're talking about people. To all people. And this cannot be done by just one man. Because it says that to all people. And some of your friends I do not know. So how can I proclaim the gospel to them? And it says to all people. So that's why we need each other in the proclamation of the gospel. That's why I told you a while ago, it cannot be done by just one man. We all need to share the gospel. And it says there, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will not be condemned. Now, before I explain this in the original language, the key here is in the word but. Because you might get confused because it says that whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So is baptism part of salvation? No. Okay? Because you look at the word but there. That's the contrast. Whoever believes will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. There's no baptism there after the word but. So that's so in English, so that you can understand that. But in the original language, it is in what we call the aorist tense. All of it is in aorist tense, meaning the author just gave us a summary of all of these things. It says that whoever was a baptized believer, but the one who got baptized, the one who believed and got baptized is saved. Meaning, after he believed, he got saved, he immediately went through baptism. So because that is the normal way, unless you are sick, that's why we cannot baptize you. So if you are here, if you already profess your faith on the finished work of Christ and you haven't yet been baptized, just approach me and we can do something about that. Because baptism, it is an act of obedience to Jesus. It has nothing to do with our salvation. Let me be clear on that. Because salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. But baptism, it has something to do with our obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. To give you an example so that you can have a picture, okay? I have here my wedding band or wedding ring. If I remove my wedding ring, am I still married? The reality. What's the reality? Am I still married? Nawala ko to. Pwede ko ba sabihin na hindi na ako kasal? I'm still married even though, what's this? What's the ring? The ring is just a symbol that I am married. The same is true. When you believe in Christ, you are now in union with Christ. So you are now saved. You are in union with Christ. Baptism, that is just the outward symbol of an inward reality. So it's just it has nothing to do with your union with Christ. In order for you to be one with Christ, you must believe in Him. Now, after you believe in Him, it's an act of obedience. Get baptized because that will be your public symbol. Your symbol that you are now in union with Christ. So are we clear on this passage? So again, baptism, it has nothing to do with your salvation. But it has to do with your obedience to Jesus Christ. So it says there, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not, it's clear there. That's the summary. If you do not believe, you are condemned. Now, look at the next phrase here. After Jesus commanded them to go and proclaim the gospel, He said to His disciples, "And these signs will accompany those who believe in My name. They will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover." Now, I want us to understand that the signs during the time of Jesus and the time of the disciples, it was used by God to authenticate their message. Because during their time, what they only have is the Old Testament. Okay? So now they are proclaiming Jesus Christ. Remember, in the Old Testament, he is the Messiah, the coming Messiah, no name. And yet here they are, the Messiah that was being proclaimed by Prophet Isaiah is Jesus Christ. How can people, especially the context of Israel, how can they know that, are you really saying, what you are saying is really true? So the Lord used signs during the time, signs and wonders, to authenticate their message. But the signs, it was normal then, but that is not the normative in our context today. That is why one Bible commentary said, to encourage the signs was to encourage these fearful disciples, the early disciples, in their commission, that is to proclaim the gospel. Jesus predicts the unusual signs will follow the early disciples, their ministry. And these signs are not statements about all believers for all time. Okay? Another Bible commentary said, these signs, the signs authenticated the faith of the early believers proclaimed, not the personal faith that any one of them exercised. In light of this and historical evidence, it is reasonable to conclude that these authenticating signs were normative only for the apostolic era. Now, for us today, I am not saying that God could no longer make miracles. Okay, let me be clear on that. Because baka mamaya, paglabas nyo, sabihin nyo, Pastor, sabi wala nang miracles. No. Okay? Let me be clear on this. God can still perform miracles. That's why we pray. When there's a sick person, Pastor, could you pray? Yes, we can pray. But we believe that even though through medicines or divine, at the end of the day, healing comes from the Lord. And the Lord can use medicines. That's why we have so many doctors here in GCF New Valley. The Lord can use doctors, and I'm encouraging you, if you are sick, go and see the doctor. Still pray. Because at the end of the day, healing comes from the Lord. So God still heals, even today in our context. What I am saying in our context is that signs are not the normative way. Because during their time, they were using signs just to remove the barriers. Of course, we understand that it is the Lord who converts people, it's the Holy Spirit, but we must do our responsibility here. Okay? So the signs, they were just using it to remove barriers. Signs are not the gospel. Signs are not the gospel. It's not the gospel. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. And we are called to proclaim the gospel, not the signs. Okay? So the signs just serve to remove the barrier in order for them to share the gospel. That is for them, the then and there. What is the here and now? How are we going to do this? Especially in removing barriers. I learned this from the book Conversational Evangelism. And I'm encouraging you, because this is already a locally print book, I am encouraging you to grab this book in a local Christian bookstore. Okay? It's Conversational Evangelism. It's about 300 or below. Okay? It was authored by the late Norman Geisler and his son, David Geisler. Okay? This is what we call pre-evangelism, on how we will do evangelism. Church, we are no longer in the 80s. Okay? I want to remind, perhaps some of us are still in the 80s, in that era. We are no longer in that era. Wherein when we share the gospel, when we ask someone, Hector, when you die today, do you know where are you going? Ganyan tayo, no? 80s. And tao, takot naman, di ba? Hindi na eh. Kikinig. But we are no longer in the 80s. Church, anong year na ngayon? 2019. Okay? Now, how are we going to reach out the millennials? Because this is their generation. The millennials, they are now the working. And then the Gen Z, they are now in the grade school going to college. How are we going to reach out to them? You cannot simply say, kapag namatay ka ngayon, saan ka pupunta? Titignan ka lang yan. So what? Hindi na ganyan ngayon. Okay? So how are we going now to share? What's our approach? We call it conversational evangelism. And in conversational evangelism, try to think of four roles here. the musician, artist, archaeologist, and the builder. First, the musician. In the book Conversational Evangelism, it says, good conversation begins with good listening. We must learn first and foremost to listen to the story. Once the Lord has given us a divine appointment, we must learn how to listen to their story. Hindi yung pag-upo pa lang, banat ka na kaagad. Listen to their story. Because as you listen to their story, just like a good musician, they can sense, they can hear off note. Alam niyo, wala sa tono. Alam mo. So in their statement, you know, okay, something is amiss in their statement, in their story, because you can now keep on questioning so that they can see, oh, may problema nga. Para pag ikaw na, they will now start to listen to you kasi nakita na na yung problema doon sa statement nila. Okay? And as we listen to their, story, hearing the off note, the off key, you will now start the role of an artist so that you can paint the picture to them. Okay, here's your story, and let them realize their own, the off key in their story by questioning them clarificatory questions. Don't assume that you know it all. Para bang pag, oh, mali yung sinabi mo, ganito ka, huwag yan. Iiwanan ka lang yan. Okay? Just use clarificatory questions. Just keep on questioning. Sasagot lang yan ang sasagot. I just had a conversation yesterday wherein someone said, I don't love theology, but I love Jesus. Okay. Pwede ko naman agad birahin yun na don't love theology, but you love Jesus. Did you not know that I love Jesus is a theological statement? I can immediately say that. But what I did is this. Okay. Why do you love Jesus? So, pakita mo, theology yan yung sinasabi mo. You cannot say that you do not love theology and yet you love Jesus. It's a contradicting terminology. It's contradicting in a one sentence. So why do you love Jesus? Sumagot naman siya, because he loved me first. That's theology. So say, where did you find that? The Bible, 1 John, di ba? So that's theology. Why are you saying that you don't love theology and that you love Jesus? You're just letting them realize their own. Okay, there's problem in my statement. So that again, when that time comes, you can now say your piece. They will now listen to you. Okay, so after the clarificatory question, you will now start the role of an archaeologist. Archaeologists, they dig deep so that they can uncover the ancient things. So as you are talking to them, start to really dig deep para makilala mo yung tao ko, so that you can see where you will engage in a spiritual sense, in a spiritual matter. So just dig deep with them. Nowadays, I often hear the word that I'm sure you know this, apologetics. Because sometimes they thought that apologetics is all about the head. Apologetics is also about the heart. Because as you dig deep, especially when you talk about those guys who said, I don't believe God, I hate God, those things, don't immediately attack them intellectually. Because as you question them, you will see the problem is all about the heart, because something happened to them. Something happened to their family. Something happened to their loved ones. So it's not all about the head. Sometimes it's all about the heart. So you must discern. That's why we need to dig deep. Because after now we know, is it a heart or is it a head problem? Start a builder. If you know if it's a head, then start to a head bridge. If it's a heart bridge. Then you can present the gospel. You know where to present the gospel. Hindi naman yan nakukuha ng paupugat. Ito na target eh. So remember, our goal is just to point them to Christ, because at the end of the day, it's the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit who will convert people. So our role is remove first all the barriers, and then we can explain to them the gospel, and then we can leave the result to God. After we challenge them to believe, ayaw pa rin nila, Lord, I've done my part. My responsibility. At least ginawa mo lahat. Kasi yung pag-upo, ayaw eh. Diba? Remember, here's the thing here, especially when you are talking to a friend, talaga namang parang sa tingin mo, ayaw talaga eh. The key, dapat, habang kikipag-usap ka, gusto ka pa rin niyang kausapin bukas. Hanggat gusto ka pa niyang kausapin, eh, pag-asa yan. Kasi minsan, tayo yung problema. Kaya tayo ayaw na kausapin. No way. Yung manner. Walang problema sa gospel. Parang naman good news yan. But yung manner, the way we deliver things. That's why in today's context, we call it conversational evangelism. It's not just a one way. Na parang preaching, parang ganito. No? Conversational. Especially if you want to reach out the millennials and the Gen Zs, we need conversational evangelism. Are we clear on that? GCF Nuvali. So, if you want to know more, grab the book, Conversational Evangelism by Norman Geisler and David Geisler. So, at the end of the day, we must go. GCF Nuvali, let's go. Go share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Open the word to the world. Let's become missional in our life. Remember, the word go means wherever you are, whether you're in your office, in your school, in your neighborhood, your primary purpose is to follow, as a follower of Jesus Christ, is to share the gospel, to share the good news. And here's an encouragement for all of us, that as we share the good news, look at what Jesus said to his disciples in verses 19 to 20. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, the early disciples, he was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. You will also see that in Acts chapter 1. And they went out and preached everywhere. Now they obeyed the Lord. They went out and preached everywhere. Look at the next sentence. It says there, the Lord worked with them. Meaning the Lord Jesus is with them. And then confirmed the message by accompanying signs. And this is the same in Matthew chapter 28, the last part of the Great Commission statement there. It says there, behold, I am with you always. So as we go, as we are sharing the gospel, remember, Jesus is with us. Jesus is at work in us. Jesus is at work with us. And Jesus is at work through us. So why be afraid? If Jesus is with you, why are you afraid of sharing the gospel? Remember who Jesus is. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is with you. So why are you afraid of sharing the gospel? Once again, one man cannot do this. Again, here's the command. Go and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And one man cannot do that. Do you agree with me with that? Okay. Pastor Erwin cannot do that because it says that proclaim the gospel to all people. How can I do that? How can I proclaim? We need each other. We also need other churches to do their task of proclaiming the gospel. Because it says there to all people. So here's the question that I'd like you to ponder and I'd like to throw to you. Will you commit yourself in sharing the gospel? GCF Nuvali, again, let me ask you, will you commit yourself to the Lord in proclaiming the gospel?
Yes.
Yung dito, banta dito, sumagot. Diba, paano dito sa likod? Will you commit yourself, Jesus Christ, in proclaiming the gospel?
Yes.
Mahina pa rin eh. Will you commit yourself? Again, it's not for me. It's about obedience to our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, go and proclaim the gospel. Do you really believe that he rose from the dead?
Yes.
If you really believe that he is the only answer to the problem of sin, wala nang ibang answer. There's only one way, church. Jesus Christ himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It's exclusive. It's Jesus or nothing. And we know that. And many are dying without Jesus. So will you commit yourself in sharing the gospel?
Yes.
Amen. So GCF Nuvali, let's go. Let's go. Go share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Open the word to the world. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for encouraging us through your word. And even, Lord, perhaps we're receiving some rebuke from you, some admonition from you, because we are not doing our part. Now, Lord God, we know that we must do our part. It's not just for the leaders of the church. It is not for the super Christian, Lord God. It is for all of us, Lord God, whom you called to your name. It is for all the disciples of Jesus. It is all for those who says that they are a follower of Jesus. The task of sharing the gospel is for all of us. So I just commit to you, each one of us, Lord God, would you please empower our lives so that we can really go